Nerdtastic-isms.
Thank the light, everyone! I am 7 episodes away from season 2, and these are my wolf brothers.
I will be, I like to touch my wife's thighs, Saddam.
I don't even.
It was either that or Matt likes a girl with a pale thigh, Saddam.
That's true, too. Yeah, and I'm going to be the guy who just got back from eating dinner, and Justin was trying to start this podcast like 30 minutes early, and I'm like, I'm eating dinner. Hey, if you're ever in Ripon, California.
Always.
And you want a great sandwich or hamburger, Brothers, please go to Brothers in Ripon, California. The best food, hands down. Actually, just won an award for best hamburger and best french fries.
Ooh,
exactly.
And apparently, they have beers there too.
They do have beers there too.
Very good. I did that. My name's Jeremy. I won awards. I had a beer and a half, and I'm fucking smashed.
I wish I could blame it on the beers. I wish I could. I really do. But I'm a mush mouth.
I'm meat drunk.
I made a pretty kick-ass BLT for myself. I had more bread tonight than I've had in the last 2 months combined. Like, I haven't,
no kidding.
I haven't gone like keto or anything crazy, but I've been like really cutting back on the carbs. And I crushed 3 BLTs tonight. Well, no, I lied. I crushed a BLT and a half. And then I also made Justin, just because I was like, I had the sourdough, I had everything. I made a Blue Bistro grilled cheese sandwich with bacon on it.
Did you have wasabi miso dressing and peach puree? And if not, then it wasn't Blue Bistro.
Oh, the wasabi miso dressing.
Or basil mayo.
I knew I was missing something. I always forgot what the secret ingredient. It's been so long. I just remember the mozzarella, the blue cheese dressing. I didn't have fake, and I had real pork on there too.
Yeah, thank God.
But I had the white bread, the good mushy white bread, and the fucking.
Did you eat it with your pinkies out? Because then it's not blah, 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 blah.
You can really taste the umami. Stop being so pretentious, Kyle.
I did smash it in a George Foreman grill.
There you go.
Then that makes it officially Blue Bistro.
Keeping George Foreman in business since 2008. A fucking Blue Bistro. Are they still a thing? Are they surviving? And
oh, they're gone. Long gone. No, long gone.
All right. Now back from after cutting all of that out. So.
Okay. So we do have a little bit of news. We do have a little bit of news.
So how are we going to.
Okay. So I'm thinking.
You know us. We can stretch anything into 30 minutes. So should we just do a news episode?
No, because I was thinking there's very little news and then it'll go right into the Daughter of the Night, which doesn't need to be as long as you think it is. We could start it at 10 minutes and just kind of fast forward through it. I have some bullet points. There's not a whole lot to talk about. Then I have some theory stuff that we can slap on the end of the next episode. We can talk about the Maidens of the Spear and that little scene. It's not super long. And then we can tack on my theory stuff at the end. I know Jeremy will have some shit to say about it. You probably will be too, because you're further enough along to kind of definitely at least throw out some shit, you know, see if it's.
I'll have something to say, but it'll be incredibly insulting.
Oh, Jeremy's going to be a dick. Surprise.
Nothing new.
That's his brand. No, actually, I'm really excited. Jeremy, you got to go watch the Unraveling the Pattern videos. He's really good. I think his name's Lauren or Lorne. I can't tell by the way he says it. But he does a lot of he catches like really small stuff and nuanced shit and has really good theories on stuff that make a lot of sense. So, yeah.
Okay, cool.
Awesome.
He's also doing trying to take all the stills that we've had released and leaked and the trailer, little one that they did, and trying to kind of put them in what he thinks is his best chronological order and like kind of try to predict what's going on. And I'm looking forward to that video also.
That'll be interesting. That'll be really interesting. I'd like to see it'd be really cool to see how it turns out at the end too. Like all of the theories that everyone has.
If he's close or not even close, exactly.
You guys want to hear something?
Yeah, please.
Welcome to the Wheel of Time podcast. We are your true source, the purest light, your companion, cast a warder, if you will, for this journey through all things Wheel of Time. I haven't said that in months. We've been so not even sure what we're going to talk about that I haven't even gotten through my full intro. So, Justin, can you, what are you looking at? Where are you getting your news from tonight?
So I'm getting news from basically our three new favorite people, you know, John and From What Up, the channel. He's always out. He comes out every Wednesday and he sometimes drops one between then. Always has news. I got a little bit from Nablis. He was one of the first people I ever watched doing these stuff and he's great. And then I got a little bit from Unraveling the Pattern and a little bit from Twitter, just kind of a little bit of everything. So we have our land fear.
Yeah, we do.
We have our land fear action. So it's Natasha O'Keefe, which some people apparently are. And first of all, I'm going to say, fuck you for all of this stupid shit. If you're one of the people that say she's not pretty enough to play Lanfear, just go fuck yourself.
Come on.
I would just much rather have someone who can act and do justice to the character than being the most beautiful person in the world. Same's going to go for whoever plays Galad. It, you know, just
exactly
be roughly in the mold of the character and kill it. And it's if you think that's important, I just have no time for you. I'm sorry.
It's difficult.
And she is very pretty. It's like,
yes.
And beauty is very subjective. So it just, absolutely. It's kind of ridiculous to me.
Oh, her. Fuck yeah.
She's a killer Lanfear. I think she's going to have the stern. I think she's going to be able to play both sides of the coin. The kind of like. Because I've heard, Jeremy, and I don't know if you've heard anything about this and tell me what you think. I've heard that she will play Selene and Lanfear, and there's not going to be a huge amount of change like to how she looks.
Well, she seems like one of those kind of women who like just from a like a frown, from a frown to a smile, you'll be like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like a little bit of change in like the style of her makeup or even like a slight filter on the camera is going to change, you know, I think. Her from being kind of an innocent girl that needs help from Rand, even though she's not his age. She's never his age. She's always a little bit older than him. I think that it would just be, I think, like you said, with a slight change of costume or makeup. And, you know, I think it's going to be, she'll be able to kill it. Apparently she was in Peaky Blinders. I haven't watched that. I don't know if any of you guys have watched it.
That's a fucking great show.
Is she
prominent
in it or is she small?
Yeah, no, she's big time in that. Yeah, she's awesome.
She was one of the people that when I saw her leaked as a character, I thought a lot of people picked her as Elida. And I was like, you know, one of the other characters that was speculated was Lanfear. And I was like, oh, dude, I'd be perfectly okay if she was Lanfear. So.
Yeah, I when I saw her, I thought, I understand. Like, I also understand that the way that Robert Jordan talks about two people, as you said, Lanfear and Galad, whenever someone looks at them, they're just like, blown away with how beautiful
they're so beautiful. Oh my God.
Yes. Even when they're not being manipulated by the power, people are like, oh my gosh, this woman is like, there's a point when I think that Grendel is, or someone is talking about Grendel, who's supposed to be very pretty as well. And they say like, compared to Lanfear, she's.
Yeah, I think it's Asmodian or something like that.
Yeah, he's like, compared to Lanfear, she's just plain. And
she's plumply pretty is what.
Exactly. Something like that. And then Galad
is exactly what he says.
Like, there's no human alive that could be as handsome as this guy that is as he is portrayed because everyone finds him ridiculously handsome. And there's just like
I disagree.
I'm so sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, other than yourself, there's no one that would ever.
I was going to say, you know, Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel, yes. Oh, Vin Diesel. Yeah.
I don't know. I was just trying to think somebody the most ridiculous person I could think of.
Listen,
sorry, Vin.
A young Brad Pitt was a. I'm not too ashamed.
That's fair.
He's a handsome man. That's a very handsome man.
Ryan Reynolds.
Well, how young are we going? Are we talking like two guys, a girl at a pizza place, Ryan Reynolds, when he was like sticking
with No. I'm talking Deadpool 1, height of his powers.
I'll take Ryan Reynolds tomorrow.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the thing, though. With some of these guys that as guys, my wife keeps saying all the time, she's like, as you get older, you actually get more handsome. I'm like, well, that doesn't apply to me. Thanks. But she's like, you know, like Paul Newman, he was like in his 50s. Girls still loved him and all this stuff. And Ryan Reynolds.
That's about your vibe, dude. It's about his vibe. It wasn't about his walks around like he's got a 14-inch cock in his pants and everybody knows it.
BDE. There's a comedian recently that he goes, yeah, yeah. There's a name for those people. They're called already handsome.
Yes, exactly.
As long as I keep looking like my grandpa Ken as I get older, I'll be all right. He, everybody knows he was the most handsome man in the room. He'd tell you.
He was a handsome dude. He was a handsome man.
He was.
Like Steve McQueen, you're like, oh, why was he handsome when he got older? Oh, because he was young and handsome. That's why.
Yeah. Brad Pitt's like 60.
Yeah. I think he's, yeah.
He still looks fucking hot. You seen Bullet Train? He's a badass.
He's a good looking dude.
I still just picture him from Thelma and Louise with the fucking hairdryer drawn.
But so in seeing her also, like, I understand that she's much older than the guy who plays Rand. That could be kind of like weird, but it also, like, she's much older. I actually don't know her age.
She was always supposed to be like 36 to like 40-ish in the books.
She's 36 exactly.
Exactly. So, you know, and Rand is, you know, 21.
Okay,
so.
She's 36. Okay, there you go.
But also Rand's like, you know, fucking
he's 20.
100 by the time he gets to the end, dude.
And then, but when Rand first meets her, she's using some, like, a form of the power that makes her look slightly younger, probably like 10 years younger. And so she probably looks like 10 years younger than what she actually is. Okay. So, and again, this is.
Yeah, she probably looks more like she's like 25-ish.
So she looks that, but she's probably 300 years old.
3,000 years old.
Is she Yoda?
Because she's been in prison. Well, she's been in prison for 300 years, and when you channel, you live to be like 300 to 500 years old, depending on your strength.
Yeah, did we not go over this, Des? The stronger you are in the power, the longer you
live. I knew it was long, but I don't think I realized it was like Yoda style.
Well, and especially in the Age of Legends, because there was no Oath Rod, which significantly shortens their lives.
Yes. So I think that in the book that I was talking about, the compendium, if you have enough power to open a gateway, you will live to be, I want to say it was 500.
300 to 500.
No, I think it's like 500 years old.
And is that just because does it have anything to do with the gateways, or is it just, that's the most powerful thing you can do so you can stave off death if you can make a gateway?
No, so making a gateway is just like, you have to be, most of the time, you have to be strong to just open a gateway, like at a certain power level. And most people are below that level. I would say that it's probably like the top 25% can do it. And then everybody else, you know, the 75% underneath that can't do it. So you're talking about.
Do you think it's that much? Because as we get later, people start to channel. Do you still think it's that big? I was thinking more as like 50-50. But do you think it's.
I think right now it's probably 75%. But probably in the Age of Legends, it was probably 50-50.
Okay. Even though you get towards the end of the book, towards the last battle, you don't think it's more like 50-50? No. I guess you haven't read it as much. So yeah.
Pure speculation.
Yeah. I want you to get back to the 12, 13, and 14 so I can skip ahead and go there with you.
I'm reading The Gathering Storm right now.
Okay. Oh, well, shit. All right.
12.
Start it tomorrow.
So I'm reading it right now. I'm reading it in book form, not listening to it.
I'm surprised you can hear this podcast in the 50s.
Look. Look. God. This man has a bachelor's degree. But it is in sound engineering, right?
It is, exactly.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah, and he's a fucking dude. Trust me, just about everything I know about electronics, I learned from him.
I'm the reason Justin can even play online games.
Shut up. I could figure out online games. You're the reason why I know how to hook up HDMI cables and shit like that. Okay, so maybe back on the rails?
Why start now?
It's really little. The other things I got, dude, were very, very, like, just, you know, looking like Lord Luke's going to be more and more like...
Back on track.
Oh, let me bring it back to what I was saying before.
Jesus Christ. We want to get two episodes done.
Okay. So she's a little bit older than what I would think that they would have gone for just because of the playing the Celine character. But again, I think that with her, you know, her facial feature, or they might even just go.
If you see her in Peaky Blinders, like you put a little, I mean, she's gorgeous, period. But you put a little extra makeup on her, she's mid-20s, no problem.
They can do that shit with fucking, like they do with Harrison Ford and make him look young.
But I don't want her to fucking be in the
fake, deep fake.
Uncanny Valley. Yeah. I don't want her to have the Uncanny Valley because that'll make her look disgusting. Like she can do it. I think she can do it practically, like just with.
They don't need to.
I don't think they'll even try. Honestly, I really don't. They don't need to. Yeah, that was just like I wouldn't say it was a throwaway, but it was something that that Robert Jordan did, and he did it, and I understand why he did it. Like he was trying to say Lanphier is trying to build this camaraderie with Rand, and to do that, it'd be easier if they were closer in age, even though she's supposed to be like, you know, 3 or 4 years older than him. And so he kind of looks up to her. She's also supposed to be a noble at that time. And so, you know, she's like, oh, you know, or he's like, oh, kind of deferring to her. And if she was in her 30s and he would just be like, okay, you do whatever you need to do. I'm just here to protect you. And she was trying to establish a relationship. And if she was that much older, it would have been much more difficult for her. It would have been more like,
hopefully, you know what they'll do when she's putting, I forget what the power is, when you like basically make other people see what they want to see.
Yeah, that'd be the Mask of Mirrors.
Hopefully they'll put like twilight sparkles around her.
Well, they'll probably, I was thinking maybe there'll be some sort of an effect with the power where you start to see the weaves a little bit and, you know, it's subtle.
We won't see it right away. We might see it later once we, like, at first, I think they're just going to be like, why is Lan acting like that around her sometimes and not others? And then later on when we find out what it is, they might.
Rand. Why is Rand acting like that?
Who did I say? Jeremy?
Lan. the only other news that I got was like there was some leaked stuff about some scripts speculating that it was like Perrin talking to someone in the Two Rivers for season 3, looking like we're probably going to see Lord Luke, which will be cool. But we kind of already talked about that a little bit. Comic-Con is coming up next month. Hopefully we'll get a trailer either then or before then. But because of the writer's strike, they're probably not sending people to Comic-Con as much. So they're just not promoting it as much. But Amazon is going to start promoting it here in the next like month. They were saying, so they're John on What Up, I think he was saying he's expecting to see a lot of stuff come down the pipe. Another thing, they and the Dusty Wheel just reached 2.5 million views. So not that you guys will hear this, but congratulations, guys. That's amazing.
We're coming for you.
Yeah. 2095.
Woo-hoo!
We'll get there. Another thing that kind of sucks, that there's maybe a Screen Actors Guild strike on the horizon next month, which would definitely put a halt in the filming of season 3. So that's gonna suck. But
yeah, SAG-AFTRA.
Uh-oh.
Oh, did we lose Justin?
No. Oh, yeah, we did.
He gone.
I mean, everyone needs to get paid. You're working hard. I want you to have your money, but god damn it.
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, welcome back.
I'm back. I'm back.
Oh, there he is. He came back. Cool. Yeah, we lost you for a second there. Keep going.
Oh, this is they might have a Screen Actors Guild in that strike, which would really fucking suck.
Yeah. We were just talking about that. It's like the baseball one. You're like, okay, guys, just get it figured out before the season starts. Okay. Get it figured out before the Wheel of Time starts. All right. That's all we need.
Season 3 is like half filmed probably already anyways. So just figure it out in a month or two. Get back to set. We'll get this done. As long as the fucking special effect artists don't go on strike. If they're...
I know. That'll happen towards the end of the year when they're trying to wrap it up and get into post.
Yeah.
God damn it!
I was just saying, I'm more worried about the writers not being there for the second half of the season and being like doing the punch up. Like, you know, it would probably sound a little bit better if you said it this way. You know, that type of thing. I was just watching the Arnold Schwarzenegger documentary on Netflix, and he was talking about when he, you know, in the scene of Terminator, when he says, I'll be back. And he was like, I think that a machine would say, I will be back. And James Cameron goes, did you write the movie? No, then say the line. Say the line and then do what I said.
We always hear so much about improv that like, I forget too, because like they were just talking about how like basically like Tom Cruise has a writer that's on every movie with him.
Oh, really?
And it's basically that guy doesn't actually write the movie. He's just on set. So when Tom says, actually, I'm going to say it like this, that guy real quick can be like, scratch, scratch, scratch. Right. Okay, now it's legal. Like I always think the script is a blueprint, not gospel. But like, because of the Screen Actors Guild, like that shit is
yes
fucking gospel unless you go through all the trouble to change it. So
yeah, I think the writer has to kind of change it, and if somebody else decides to improv it, they have to be like okayed. I mean, I don't know. Is that right?
I it must be, because I've been hearing more and more about like how
I think that's why a lot of them get their name as producer credits on it, so they have the power to do it.
Oh, that makes sense.
Because I think, yeah, as producer credit, and also like if you're a writer slash director, then when you're like Quentin Tarantino can be like, I wrote the fucking script. So
yes,
actually, I think I do actually want you to say it this way instead of that way. Whereas if the writer is nowhere near the movie set, then it's got to go through a big ordeal to get changed.
Like, where's the writer? He's in his trailer. He's crying again, guys. He says you're ruining his script again.
He says, quit blowing your nose on his Bible, please.
Brandon Sanderson just keeps crying. That's all he does.
Okay, so let's get a little clip. You play the clips, Justin, because my thing is still a fart. I didn't feel like fucking with my system this
week. I'm gonna go in at like 12, and then I'm gonna fast forward a little bit so we can just talk about the clip mostly and knock it out.
Sounds good.
Okay, so we're just Perrin has fallen asleep. He's met up with Hopper, who is his wolf friend that passed away, and we are in the Dragon Reborn chapter 36. The chapter is called The Daughter of the Night. We're at 10 minutes and 30 seconds, and basically Perrin has just freed the Iomen. They've run and jumped on a boat, and he finally is going to go to sleep, and he's hoping that he's not going to wake up in the wolf dream. He does wake up in the wolf dream. Hopper is there, and he's kind of trying to take him around, and Hopper finally takes off, and Perrin comes across, you're going to figure out, is Lanfear and Ishmael having a conversation in the world of dreams.
I have served the Lord of the Twilight long. Long did I lie imprisoned for my service in an endless, dreamless sleep. Only gray men and Myrdral are denied dreams. Even Trollocs can dream. Dreams were always mine, to use and walk. Now I am free again, and I will use what is mine.
What is yours? Bosman said. The blackness swirling round him seemed mirthful. You always thought yourself greater than you were, Lanfear. The name cut at Perrin like a newly honed knife. One of the Forsaken had been in his dreams. Moraine had been right. Some of them were free. 3,000 years and more of whispering in ears and pulling the strings of throned puppets like an Aes Sedai. 3,000 years, and yet Luz Theron walks the world again. And these Aes Sedai all but have him leashed. Can you control him? Can you turn him? He was mine before ever that straw-haired chit Ilyena saw him. He will be mine again. Have you abandoned your oaths to the great Lord of the Dark? They are not so easily broken as the oaths to the light you forsook, proclaiming your new master in the very hall of the servants. Your master claims you forever, Lanfear. Will you serve, or do you choose an eternity of pain? Of endless dying without release? I serve the great Lord of the Dark and none other. Forever. The vast array of mirror began to vanish, as if black waves rolled in over it, ever closer to the center. The tide rolled over Baalzaman and Lanfear. There was only blackness. Perrin felt Hopper move, and he was more than glad to follow, guided only by the feel of fur under his hand. For some reason, Lanfear frightened him more than Baalzaman did. Perhaps because she had been in his dreams in the mountains. Light! One of the Forsaken in my dreams. Light! And unless he had missed something, she had defied the Dark One. He had been told and taught that the Shadow could have no power over you if you denied it. But how could a Dark Friend, not just a Dark Friend, one of the Forsaken, defy the Shadow? I must be mad. Like Simeon's brother. Slowly the blackness became fog again, and the fog gradually thinned until he walked out of it with Hopper onto a grassy hillside bright with daylight. Birds began to sing from a thicket at the foot of the hill.
I'm gonna fast forward a little back. Bit.
Without thinking, he looked around to see if anyone had seen him, and that quickly, everything changed. He was standing on a rise with shadowy indistinct dips and swells all around him. They seemed to fade into the distance too soon. Rand stood below him. Rand in a ragged circle of Myrdral and men and women, his eyes seemed to slide right past. Myrdral scent and the stink of burned sulfur filled the air. Perrin's hackles rose. The circle of Myrdral and people came closer to Rand, all walking as if asleep. And Rand began to kill them. Balls of fire flew from his hands and consumed too. Lightning flashed from above to shrivel others. Bars of light like white-hot steel flew from his fists to more. And the survivors continued to walk slowly closer, as if none of them saw what was happening. One by one they died until none were left, and Rand sank down on his knees, panting. Perrin was not sure whether he was laughing or crying. It seemed to be some of each. Shapes appeared over the rises, more people coming, more Myrdral, all intent on Rand. Perrin cupped his hands to his mouth. Rand! Rand! There are more coming! Rand looked up at him from his crouch, snarling, sweat slicking his face. Rand! There! Burn you! Rand howled. Light burned Perrin's eyes, and pain seared everything. Groaning, he rolled into a ball on the narrow bed. Lordly, you do not know which questions to ask, and you would comprehend less than half the antagons, at least. What I am trying to make clear to you is that I do not think you will suddenly begin wielding the power. You do not have to be afraid of that. Well, thank you very much for that, he said bitterly.
So I fast-forwarded it, because there's a part about Rand we can go back to later. We've talked about it a little bit. And then Perrin wakes up and goes to talk to Moraine.
You do not have to scare me to death, just so you can tell me there was no need to be frightened. Oh, you do have reason to be frightened. Or at least careful, as the wolf suggested. Red Sisters or others might kill you before they discovered there was nothing to gentle in you. Light! Light, burn me! He stared at her with a frown. You're trying to lead me around by the nose, Moraine. But I am no calf, and there's no ring in my nose. The Red Ajah or any other would not think of gentling unless there was something real in what I dreamed. Does it mean the Forsaken are loose?
I told you before that they might be. Some of them. Your dreams are nothing I expected, Perrin. Dreamers have written of wolves, but I did not expect this.
Well, I think it was real. I think I saw something that really happened. Something I wasn't supposed to see.
What you must see.
I think Lanfear is loose at the very least. What are you going to do?
I am going to Ilion, and then I will go to Tyr and hope to reach it before Rand. We had need to leave Remen too quickly for Lan to learn whether he crossed the river or went down it. We should know before we reach Ilion, though. We will find sign if he has gone this way.
Is that all you are going to do? With Lanfear loose, and the light alone knows how many of the others?
Do not question me, she said coldly. You do not know which questions to ask, and you would comprehend less than half the answers if I gave them, which I will not.
He shifted his feet under her gaze until it became clear she would say no more on the matter. His shirt rubbed painfully at the burn on his chest. It did not seem a bad hurt.
Not for being struck by lightning, it doesn't.
Will you heal this? Are you no longer uneasy about the one power being used on you then, Perrin?
No, I will not heal it. It is not serious, and it will remind you of the need to be careful.
Careful about pressing her, he knew, as well as about dreams or letting others know of them.
If there is nothing else, Perrin?
He started for the door, then stopped. There is one thing. If you knew a woman's name was Zareen, would you think it meant anything about her?
Why under the light do you ask this question?
A girl, he said awkwardly. A young woman. I met her last night. She's one of the other passengers. He would let her discover for herself that Zareen knew she was Aes Sedai, and seemed to think following them would lead her to the Horn of Valir. He would not keep back anything he thought was important, but if Moraine could be secretive, so could he.
Zareen. It is a Saldaean name. No woman would name her daughter that unless she expected her to be a great beauty and a heartbreaker. One to lie on cushions in palaces, surrounded by servants and suitors. She smiled, briefly, but with great amusement. Perhaps you have another reason to be careful, Perrin, if there is a Zareen as a passenger with us.
I intend to be careful, he told her. At least he knew why Zareen did not like her name. Hardly fitting for a hunter of the horn, as long as she doesn't call herself Falcon.
That's all we need, really. So the rest of that obviously finishes. You guys know he goes up on deck, and then it flashes back to Rand, and he goes, you know, full Sith on that caravan of merchants or whatever.
Oh, that's right.
We've talked about that. We can definitely do that one again. I think it's important, so we could do even a couple of like Rand pods that have him like when he's kind of losing his shit.
Yeah.
Could put a couple of them together short because they're short, you know, just pieces.
Aren't they bad people though? Or does he kill total innocents?
Well, they are bad people. And one of them, he's like, oh, I didn't even see that one at first. It's because he's a gray man, I think. So first things last, Jeremy, do you think what Perrin was witnessing with him killing all the Madral and stuff, was that in the world of dreams? Is that a dream that Rand's having, like a nightmare? Is it something that's happening in the waking world? What do you think?
Yeah. So for me, I think that's how it's one of the things that either the shadow would put on him, like to cause him to be uneasy, or it's how he feels, like he's constantly under pressure. And so there's constantly.
That was my thing, is do you think it's a like a metaphor for Perrin, kind of like almost like a foretelling, like you have to interpret it a little bit? Okay.
Yes. In my opinion, it's what Rand's going through. If you were under all this intense pressure, you would probably be feeling that exact same thing and having these same dreams. Like if it's always on your mind, you're like, oh shoot, like, you know, the shadow's always coming for me. So it's Murdral Greyman. You know, that's all the things he knew about at the time. If you would have known about Dark Hounds, there probably would have been Dark Hounds. If you'd have known about like Drakkar, there would have been Drakkar. But that's all he knew at the time.
Dude, every time I get stressed at work, dude, I have nightmares about Trollocs. It's totally true. It really hits home. Had a few bosses that are kind of like Drakkar, blood-sucking, soul-sucking leeches.
Dude, oh. I just, like, within the last year, finally stopped having restaurant anxiety dreams. Like I haven't worked in a restaurant in over a decade, and that just quit being my nightmare of fucking just burning burger after burger after burger. And where the fucking chicken breasts? God damn it, where are the chicken breasts at? I keep going to the goddamn reach in and there's no chicken breasts.
Lisa and I still have dreams every once in a while. You hear tickets, you know, gink, gink, gink.
Oh,
fuck, stop. That's a brunch thing too. Like, I'll fucking off myself, dude. Dude, brunch. Oh man, I'm going to poach 22 eggs at one time. No.
So when I was, I won't say where I was because then I'll have to edit this out. I was at a place that was serving a shitload of breakfasts. And usually you can get your eggs anyway. And this year, someone that was used to getting his eggs anyways, he's like, can I get a fried egg? And she's like, actually, we're only doing poached or scrambled. And he's like, what? And I was at the other end of the table. I said, hey, as an ex-cook, I fully support this decision.
That's amazing.
That is the right choice.
So, you know, Perrin, at first you don't really hear that part, but Perrin is, he's trying to, he doesn't want to go to sleep. And then they get a little downriver on the boat and he's like, well, I could, you know, I could probably go to sleep now. It's probably safe. As soon as he goes into the dream, you know, Hopper's there, starts taking him around and shit. So he does a few things with Hopper and then Hopper takes off for a minute and Perrin comes upon who you find out is Lanfear and Balzamon, which is, you know, we know who that is.
So is Hopper always there or is he sleeping too?
Now he's dead. So he's in the world of dreams until he's, you know, reborn.
But is he like, is he just always sitting around waiting for Perrin to go to sleep or is Perrin summoning him? I mean, this is probably a question that has no answer. Is Perrin summoning him by entering the world of dreams or is Hopper just always sitting on the other side going, come on, Perrin, go to sleep. Come on, we got work to do. Go to sleep.
No, I would say it's more that he's waiting till he sees Perrin is asleep and then he will watch Perrin and be like, okay, Perrin needs guidance right now.
So Perrin's going to be in Telen Riad regardless.
Not always, but yes, a lot of times, yes. And he's like his guardian angel is what he is. It's like, hey, whoa, don't touch that. It's hot. don't don't go over there.
He's just like your dog. If you're taking a nap, are you up? You wake? You ready to play? No? Okay.
Yeah.
Now?
What do you
now?
Doing?
Now. I think they have a bit of a link. And I think it's almost like Jeremy said, is kind of like guardian angel type thing. I think it's, you'll find like any good magic story with magic in it. A lot of things are triggered by need. And I think when he needs Hopper shows up for the most part. So
does he ever gain control enough to where he can just fucking get some rest sometimes? Or is Teleron always just...
Yeah.
Okay.
Perrin becomes, I would say, as strong in the world of dreams as any of the Chosen.
But that's still... like, I don't feel like you wake up rested if you spend the night in Teleron Riad.
That's totally true.
You won't. He can... He talks about, at a certain point, he can go... three different ways. He can go into the world of dreams fully, like in the flesh. He can go into it how he's going into it right now, or he can go get regular sleep.
Okay.
Usually, I think most of the time he goes and gets regular sleep, but when he needs answers or he needs help, he will go into Telen Riad.
That's good for him, because I was just waiting. I was like, he's going to be worse than Rand after a year of this shit.
Yeah, just, I can't sleep. I need coffee.
Yeah, he totally would be. Yeah, he would be. And it's funny because you haven't seen anything yet. And I forget how bad Rand gets. And Rand gets like, there's a reason why they say, you know, towards the end of the books, last like four books, it's like, it's Darth Rand and Zen Rand. And it gets real Darth right towards the end.
Gets very Darth, like choke your own dad out.
Yeah, it's bad.
We've already kind of talked about this one point where Balzamon rips the skin off the guy and then he's like, I fear he may never wake. Like, oh, fucking good. Ishii's got jokes. Okay. That's cool, man. Whatever. You get some explanation of Lanfear's power, how strong she was, how strong she is in the world of dreams. And it's a good kind of bit of foreshadowing because you, like I said, especially for someone who can't channel, Perrin becomes incredibly capable in the world of dreams, and it definitely has something to do with him being a wolf brother. He survives Balefire at the end of this clip. Rand fucking hits him with Balefire, and he is fast enough in the world of dream. He would be cease to exist even if it was in the dream, but he's quick enough and strong enough already in the world of dreams to keep it, make it just a kind of like a, like it dropped a hot nickel on his chest or something.
But is that because he jumps out of the world of dreams at just the right time? He couldn't actually, if he stayed there and took the full brunt of it, he probably couldn't survive it. But his ability to...
Not yet. Not yet.
I mean, is he more powerful than Rand in the world of dreams?
Absolutely. Absolutely. By a lot.
Do they use that to their advantage at some point? Where like Perrin's like, I'll handle him here. And then when I wake up, you handle him there.
Not so much. They don't really talk about it. I don't think, Jeremy. I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, I guess. Yeah. Because he's like, you got to watch my back, dude, while I do this. He says that to Perrin. So.
Yes. Yeah. There's times when, you know, Rand has to, I'll say in the last book he's locked up. He's fighting and he's vulnerable. And so he's like, hey, you guys got to watch my back. And they do. Yeah, it's very cool. It's very interesting.
You know what? For an end of the book, like an end of a series, like it's pretty great, dude. Like I got to say, like it's really good. I've been very satisfied. And like, especially the more I go back over it, the more I like it. So I'm good.
I agree. The one thing that you get to find out about Lanfear, and I think that she, correct me if I'm wrong, Justin.
Definitely.
Of all of the Forsaken, we probably know the most about her.
Her and Ishii, but really, it's not even close, dude. You get way more story about her because she's so tied to Lutheran.
Yeah.
She was his lover. She was in love with him. And I think that's why they wanted to, you know, in the books, they want to make her look younger to have that immediate, because Rand's not going to be feeling some kind of way about, you know, he's a country kid, you know, he's not going to be like, oh, this, you know, woman who's like old enough to be almost my mom or my older sister, you know, he's like, they wanted it to make that connection. But I think especially in on TV and in the parlance of the storytelling, I don't think it matters at all.
Yeah. So in the books, and it makes perfect sense to me, she's a woman in her 30s, right? So, and she's beautiful.
I think Rand's going to see her a certain way no matter what. And it's not going to matter physically what she looks like.
All of us guys remember what it was like being 20 and then seeing a woman in her 30s who is beautiful and mature and smart. And you're just like,
yeah, it's intimidating. It's intimidating.
No chance. I have zero chance. Yes, it's super intimidating. And so Lanfear would have understood that.
I am a boy. She is a woman. And I'm terrified. Yeah.
And she would have understood that. She was like, okay, I'll make myself look younger and appear to be closer to his age so that there's a chance that we can bond closer. Otherwise, he's going to keep me at...
Well, and think of who she is. There's no way she's going to come off as super humble and like, oh, I need your protection. She's fucking Lanfear, dude. Like, she's going to play it off as best she can, but that's just not a role. She's going to fucking win Oscars.
But also, it shows her intelligence of thinking ahead and how she plans things out. She's 10 steps ahead of everyone.
Which is why she's so good at telling Riyadh, because it's thought, it's planning, it's manipulation, it's, you know, and that's the thing, you know. Part of it's like what makes her strong is her ability to manipulate people and situations. What makes Perrin strong is his roots in the physical world and his heart and his honor. You know, it's like this is what has to happen. And it's his force of will that really keeps him strong.
That's a great point. His force of will. Like he's like, I don't care what's going to happen to me. I have to get this done. This task has to get done.
It makes him kind of a little bit not, I don't want to say invulnerable, but less vulnerable to manipulation, because he's just like, I don't care. This has to get done. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, he's reckless to the point of like, it just works. You're like, you're so reckless.
He should die a lot.
Yeah, and it's I don't know. It's like a great general who just takes like all the chances and every time it works out for him.
Yeah, like, almost as lucky as like Matt. It's just like he relies on pure berserker. Just like,
yeah,
I think it's almost like if it were a video game, it'd be like a stun. People are just like, what the fuck is this guy doing? You know?
Yeah.
What else? Oh, you get some explanation of her power and why she's at. She gets mentioned, you know, being released, you know, fairly recently, obviously at the beginning of Great Hunt, she gets released more or less. And I think it probably takes, do you think it takes her a minute to kind of like get back to full power, Jeremy? Or does she just come out like on?
What does she get released from again?
Like her prison. She was bound with the Dark One at Sheol Gul too.
Yeah. So this is the hard part that's kind of hard to understand, because there's not a real concrete explanation of how that they were imprisoned. So what happens is like there's a I want to say a tunnel.
When Zod is like floating in the mirror.
The Fortress of Solitude?
Yeah, they're in the Phantom Zone.
Oh, the Phantom Zone? Yeah. The Phantom Zone. They're in the Phantom Zone.
Oh.
They're absolutely in the Phantom Zone.
The Phantom Zone.
Welcome to the podcast!
My wife and daughter are coming in, guys. You want to see them?
Perfect. Hi, Genevieve. Hi, Amy. Hey, Jen.
They're ducking because they're trying to get stuff. So, Jenny, come step up to the video. So Jenny, when she finally finishes the books, this is who's going to come on the podcast. Okay.
Who's her favorite character?
Who's your favorite character, Jenny?
Nynaeve.
From
the beginning, though.
She says from the beginning, but I remember her sending me a text saying, like, I don't know if I like Nynaeve.
No, that was Egwene.
Okay, that's right. She did, yes. She's come around to Egwene. I was like,
Egwene stays annoying.
So
she was so bland in the first like book.
But she also was like, I don't think I like Matt.
Nobody likes Matt at first.
I was like, Matt.
No, I didn't like Matt because yes. He's terrible in the first three books.
Matt at first, he's not a good friend. He's like, my friend like is a baby killer and all this stuff.
Yeah, dude, seriously, Matt's terrible at first. Lisa's like, I don't understand why you like Matt. He just seems like a dickhead. And I was like, he is at first. He is. He's pretty.
He's a scoundrel. He's a scoundrel. We love a scoundrel. We love a scoundrel.
He's what you call chaotic good.
That's exactly what he is.
That's fair.
What were we talking about? We had a point.
Nice try, Jeremy. Nice try.
I know. Stupid. Anyways, we were talking about Lanfear. Though the one thing I would say about Lanfear is she is probably the most developed character of the Forsaken that we get to meet.
Yeah.
You have the backstory for her. You have her motivations. And you have it. Honestly, it's almost like a character arc. To where you see where she starts. She doesn't like come from bad to good. She comes from like you understand why she was like good, then went bad, then was kind of still bad, but had her own like reasons for it. And you're like, okay, you're kind of mean and like and a horrible person, but you know, I understand your motivations at least.
Yeah, she's just like kind of like a woman scorned and she's pissed about it. I don't even know. That's not even an accurate description either. She just kind of like, she basically feels like the world doesn't like respect her for what her contribution. And then she's just kind of like, well, fuck it.
And at some point she might've been right. Right. Like she might've been right. Maybe she wasn't getting the respect that she deserved, but maybe she thought that she needed it at a time when it wasn't ready yet. Like, I mean, people who are smart, people who are geniuses, which I would say that Lanfear in this book, these books are, she's a genius. She's incredibly intelligent. Maybe she thought she wasn't getting the respect that she deserved. I think pretty much all of the Forsaken thought that. So they're like, if you look at all of their reasoning, it's a lot of times it's like, I didn't feel appreciated. I didn't feel like I was getting my respect. So I went to the shadow and then I got the respect over there and then they moved me.
And some of them wanted to be like Dr. Mengele and like do like human experiments. And that's why they did it.
Well, yeah, exactly. Or they were like a great.
She was the greatest healer of all time, and she just started like torturing people while she healed them.
But also, Grindel was like a psychologist, right? So she was like Freud. Imagine Freud becoming like someone who could just manipulate people. Like I was Sigmund Freud, and then all of a sudden I became David Copperfield with your brain, or David Blaine, and I was going to try to like. Trick you into doing like horrible things.
Yeah, she was just kind of like, people are scum, so can't beat them, join them, I guess. You know, like that was literally like, she got like sick of being a good person, kind of.
Well, and the world was kind of like, after the breaking, like I can see if you were around for a long time after the breaking that you're just like, this is just chaos. Like the world needs an empire.
Yeah.
To bring this, whether good, bad, or ugly, like we're broken. And if it takes an asshole to bring us all together, then why not?
You're right. Oh, so I remember what we were talking about, Desmond. So we were talking about the...
We were saying
the imprisonment, right? So we were talking about the imprisonment. What is explained in the books is when you go to Shao Ghul, which is like, basically it's a giant volcano, but there's like a tunnel that goes to the base of the volcano. It goes inside of it.
That's where the Temple of Doom is.
Kalima.
Exactly. You go to see the temple Yes. And then they pull your heart out and then they lower you into the fire. Yes.
Indy.
Yes. I love you, Indy. So if as you go down there, the closer you get to the center is the closer you can be to like where the dark one is. And so I think what happened is when they were imprisoned by Luz Theron, the people that were closer to the exit were closer to the world. Does that make sense? Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So it's weird because the Ishmael
right
is like at the very exit, right? So he was the closest. So he kept getting like spun out every like 1,000 years.
Oh.
And so he would kind of like appear, he would cause issues, and then he would get like pulled back into the trap. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then all the other ones, they were still inside there. They were still stuck in the trap. And I think Lanfear, she was the closest. She was really close. So she was one of the first ones that was released as the seals in the Dark One's prison started to weaken.
So you think of the seals as like layers.
I think of seals as like, oh, was that what I'm talking about? Sorry, I tuned out for a second.
I think about seals as a kiss from the rose.
A kiss from obviously. The rose. Yeah. Okay.
From Batman Forever.
No, dude, never Batman Forever. The New Vacation when the dad starts singing it. Hey, Dez.
Yeah.
We're obviously not going to do two tonight. Why don't we just
doing one tonight.
Why don't we just slap the theory stuff on the end?
Sounds good.
And then call it good.
Perfect. I was just going to ask that. I forgot about the theory stuff. So yeah. Let's do the.
I was like, dude, it's like where I was like, because the eel clip is pretty fucking short, but I don't want to try to cram it. I figured just slap the theory stuff on, have a long one, and then you know maybe we'll get we have enough for a fucking couple of weeks, so we can if we get some news, we can record next week for an hour, and if not, then well, if they give us something, if they don't give us anything next week, then fuck it, we'll take the week off. But
yeah, if we don't have anything, we can bang out two chapters real quick.
Jeremy, I had one more question about that. Do you think that, so Perrin obviously told Moraine all about his dream. Do you think that she is covering her worry and fear, but that's why she decides that she's really got to like move fast to get to Tyr to find Rand because Lanfear's in the picture and she knows that what that means to the dragon.
So yeah, I think the one thing that she's really worried about is it's almost like a TV show where she was like, I will kill him before I let him go to the shadow. And I know that would be, she knows like.
I mean, that's the attitude she has in the books too. She's like, I won't let the shadow have him.
Yes. And it's more, and she's thinking more of Lanfear and not of Ishmael. Like she doesn't think that Ishmael has a chance, but she's like an incredibly beautiful woman who can, you know, is incredibly powerful.
Yeah. Who can literally manipulate your brain. Yeah. And has no problem doing so. Like no, you know, qualms about it.
And he's a 19-year-old kid at this time. You have no chance. So she's probably thinking ahead. Like,
I mean, Rand isn't your average, you know, 19-year-old kid, but totally.
She knows. Yes. That's the one thing she knows is like, he's from the Two Rivers. So that means he's incredibly stubborn. And so the more.
I love that. That's a trait. It totally is a fucking Two Rivers trait.
It is a total trait. Like if you come from the Two Rivers, you might as well be a donkey. Like, as the harder you pull on somebody, the more they're going to sit down.
You know, Jeremy, are we from there?
Yeah, seriously. I'm like.
So let's change gears a little bit. One of the things that I have seen that is fun that I think about is that the Lorne from Unraveling the Pattern, this was on one of his videos, and he found what looks to be code names for season 2 episodes. Have you guys seen this? So the code names are, you know, we have the first, he brought up something. I can't remember what it was. I think it was a TV time app or maybe something connected to that, like a link off of that. I can't remember what it was. At Rational Nerd on Twitter, maybe found this, I believe. So you might be able to look them up. They found those. It was like when the scripts were submitted. So A Taste of Solitude, which is the season 2, episode 1, was submitted at the same time as the pilot.
Oh.
The pilot?
That one. That's why that one has the real episode title.
And that
title.
One we've known since mid-season 1.
We've known for, mid-season 1, that's what it's going to be. And I think that's why, because it was, you know, I think it was submitted at the same time. Like, okay, here's the pilot and here's where season 2 starts.
Really?
Yeah. So it's kind of crazy. So I think that, you know, episode one is gonna still be called that. Then you have, you know, episode two is called Blood Boiling. Episode three is Oblivion Crown. Episode four is Kindly Stranger. Episode five is Sword in the Stomach. Episode six is Victims of Night. Episode seven is Horses. And then episode eight is The Call of the Plunder. There was much ado, and he's talking about why he thinks all these things. You know, we don't have time to break all that down, but it's a really good video. And his thoughts were that by comparing some of the titles of chapters in book two and three, this is what he came up with. Is that he said that Blood Boiling could have been Blood Calls Blood, but we had that in the first season as a title. So he was thinking maybe Eyes Without, Pity, I think is what I wrote. I can't remember.
Eyes Without a Face. Great Billy Idol song.
Eyes Without. Am I frozen by any chance?
No.
No.
Wait, move your hand. Move your hand. Nope, you're frozen. You are frozen.
Yeah, my, I think my audio is fine. I was just trying to click on something on season. I was clicking too fast on my computer. And so now everything's,
You're not frozen on me.
Now you're good.
Okay. Well, my computer's frozen. I can't see you guys. So I don't know if my computer's going to unfreeze.
Hold on. Wax on, then wax off. Wax on. No, you're frozen. Justin's totally frozen. See? His fingers broke. You get to see his super cool tattoos on his fingers. They're so cool.
Yeah. So
they're
edgy.
So cool.
Oh my God. I'm so...
Look at him. So edgy. You're so punk, bro.
Oh my God.
You're the punkest bro.
Whatever. At least you're going to go to heaven because you're pristine.
Justin has a lot of tattoos now, but like early on in his tattoo career, he got a tattoo that said poor impulse control. So
yeah, we went over that one. What was your first tattoo, Justin?
Barbed wire.
Some barbed wire on my leg.
Genius.
The Sacramento birthmark.
Super gangster.
All the way up and back down.
That is correct. Yeah, correct, sir and madam. Correct. So back to what I was talking about with the Wheel of Time, not some dumb shit. It says Eyes Without Pity, and I can't remember why he said that one. But the third episode, he was thinking Oblivion Crown. They kind of refer to there was something that means oblivion and demon. I think it's maybe what the item is, the long name for that is something. Maybe it has to do with that. So he's thinking maybe the third episode is going to be called Demani, because that is one of the episode leaks. And these are just his theories. He was thinking that episode four may be called Strangers and Friends, or New Friends, Old Enemies. But then the episode five was the one that he talked about that I thought about, is Sword in the Stomach. Obviously, I would say that has to do with sheathing the sword. That could be maybe you're getting some of the Lan and Rand stuff with the training of the sword. Or what if he fights Ishii that early, you know?
That's what I'm thinking.
What if that happens in episode five and then he does start heading to Tyr?
But that makes sense, right? Because that's halfway through the season. That's actually less or more than halfway through the season. And that's the end of book two. So you still have book three that you have to get through.
What if it, you know, like the sheathing of the sword, you know, happens like, you know, 10 minutes in or halfway through episode five, then you're basically at the midpoint of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of what we thought it would be, though, Justin. I mean, when we start talking about
That would be the pacing that we were, you know, kind of imagining, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, at least that I was like, it's going to have to move fast. And you know what? It's like, it'll be there's so much good stuff. Even if they only hit bullet points, it'll be awesome. So if it's done well, I think it's going to be great.
If they hit the right bullet points and they don't do any like full episodes or half episodes about side characters that don't make anything.
I just don't see how they can do that and finish telling the story.
Well, I don't see how they could have done it in the first season, but they did it.
There's always a down there. It's just part of a seasonal arc to just have.
Yeah, you can't have every episode just be.
You know, if we didn't know the book so well, would be fine, but it's going to drive us crazy when we're like, really? You're going to sit in this fucking cave for 40 minutes and you're not going to talk, but you're going to cut this and this out, you know, but hello, son of a bitch.
What happened to Dez?
Dez is gonzo, boy.
Turns out I'm the host now. That can't be good.
Turns out you're the host.
That can't be good. He's going to come back in.
Yeah. I don't know how that works though.
Well, it's going to work that we lost him.
Well, can he just rejoin?
He'll try to rejoin and then I'll have to let him in.
I guess we could kind of do these, and then that way when he comes back, we can just kind of like...
Yeah, just go ahead. Finish what you're saying.
Well, I mean, what do you think about sheathing the sword? I mean, what if he fights Ishmael in like episode 5? Like, that would be nuts.
But I honestly think that has to happen, right? Because if you're going
to... But then, okay, let's say that that happens. Then does he get to Tyr? Do they finish that whole thing? Does he fight someone in Tyr? Maybe not Belal, maybe someone else, maybe Samael or someone else.
If you're going to do it right, then yes, he goes there and he fights Ishmael again. And I know it's only like 3 episodes later, but then like it's done.
That's right, because he fights Belal and Ishmael he doesn't kill Belal. That's right.
He doesn't kill Belal. He's fighting him with the sword and Belal is like trying to push him, and then Moraine ends up killing Belal.
Bang. She gives him the zap. So, I mean, that would be cool. And then episode 6 was Victims of Night. And he's like, you know, that just makes me think of Daughter of the Night, which is, you know, when the chapter that we just listened to, you know, kind of introducing her and her power. You know, she's been in the book for a minute, but you really get to see her as Lanfear. It's one of the first times you really get to see her.
They go back and like show like some of the like stuff in the Age of Legends that she did or something like
that.
That'd
be a cool cold open if you see her, you know.
Sure, would be.
Going into the boar. I mean, I don't know how you could do that in a cold open and make it make sense, but I'm sure you could. And so, I mean.
They did a lot of stuff that didn't make any sense.
Right. also, episode 7 is called Horses, which he's like, I don't really have a clue. He's like, but I started looking and he had a reasoning for this. I can't remember what it was, but he said episode 7, he thinks is one of the titles is What Might Be. And he goes, I got really excited about that because he's like, what if that is you get some of the flicker, flicker, flicker stuff in the What Might Be, because that would be super cool. Oh, I remember Strangers and Friends, episode 4. He was saying that maybe that's when Varen gets introduced.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, you know, that's when she starts popping up in the books. So not to jump back around, but the What Might Be thing, I mean, that's got a lot of, you know, you could be telling Rian related, you could see some of the other, hey, he's back.
Hey,
this motherfucker.
Go ahead. Keep.
What happened?
I was just doing way too much. Like I was opening up all kinds of websites, trying to get to some information, and I just
explode.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't try to catch up. You guys just go ahead and wrap up wherever you are. And then I'm gonna just say goodbye.
And then the episode 8 is called The Plunder, was like the kind of the secret title. I think that if the kind of spoiler at the beginning, I'm hoping that that episode will be called The Grave Is No Bar to My Call, which is, you know, what's on the Horn of Valyr.
Yeah.
Which would be super cool.
That would be cool.
I keep kind of forgetting too that we're gonna see the Heroes of the Horn this season, which is fucking awesome.
Look forward to that.
And that's it, Diz.
Awesome. It's going to be fucking great. I'm so excited to have a show. I like shows. I am listening to The Dragon Reborn so fucking fast. Like, if I listen to it on regular speed, I have almost 9 hours left. At the speed I'm listening to, I just got under 4 hours.
Jeez. But honestly, when I start listening to things at like 2x speed, when you start listening to stuff at like normal speed, it just sounds like everyone's talking in slow motion.
And they're taking deep breaths in between each sentence. And then Ran went up to the top.
And he was very tired.
He was so tired.
I'm going to start just releasing our episodes at 1.5. Like, I'm not even going to give people the chance.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Speed it right up.
Don't do that.
Thank the Light for listening to our podcast. Please rate us, like us, tell a friend about our show. Thank the Light. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parse. Check us out on Twitter. We are Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman. That is Wolf Brothers at Parse Ailman. Send us questions and comments and your season 2 theories to thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Looking for another great podcast to listen to while you wait for the next episode of Thank the Light? Head on over to whatsoundsawesome.com and check out our great podcast lineup. We have comedy slash spirituality. It's not 2 podcasts, folks. It's 1 podcast of comedy spirituality, time travel movies, fitness and nutrition, and awesome women in the form of All the Answers, Truth Not Trends, Time, Pop, Be Brave, and That Fitness Couple. You can find them at whatsoundsawesome.com or wherever you find fine, free podcasts.
Uh-oh.
He's gone again.
Dang it. I'm just going to sign off, dude.
You're just going to go?
Really?
Yeah, you do your thing, send it in. He can do his thing and put it in wherever. And then I'll do mine.
All I got to say is, uh-oh, Scoob, we better get out of here.
Oh, he's back.
Oh, nice.
And just remember, everybody, even Trollocs can dream.
Whoa.
Peace, favor, your sword. May you always find water and shade. See you, cuz.
And that means if he's Scooby, then I have to be Fred, right? Obviously. I'm wearing a kerchief, as always. I mean, I'm always wearing a kerchief. Now Justin's frozen. And also, no, I'm not going to say it.
I also made all these origami swans.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.
Hey, J-Man. Hey, J-Man. Let me run something by you, J-Man. No!